producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every show, we've batted around with our pals in talk radio news. Justin Duckham is with us. He's in our virtual green room. Justin, wow. So after all this conversation that you and I have had, the speculation about Joe Biden, he decides ultimately that he is not going to run. It becomes such a big story that he goes to the Rose Garden and has the president by his side when he talks about it. Were you surprised that Biden decided not to jump in?
I was not. You know, I think I was one of the rare people in Washington who was predicting for quite some time that he wasn't going to be running. I think it makes sense. You know, I don't think he really had a path to victory for him. He was going to be ending a 40 or so some odd career, pretty much at the top of his game. He had spent decades in the Senate, was the co-author of the Violence Against Women Act, you know, had a very effective vice presidency. And I think, you know, it kind of made sense for him not to run a third unsuccessful presidential bid. But yesterday he essentially said as much as that, saying that there wasn't really a path forward. There wasn't really the time to organize a top-notch presidential campaign. So they were sort of bowing to the reality of that, bowing to the fact that this was going to certainly be an uphill battle and one that they probably wouldn't be able to win considering, you know, the head start that people received.
Yeah, so this is it. I mean, Biden's too old. He won't run. This is it. I mean, he decided not to run, so he's not going to run for president again.
Exactly. You know, he said he's not going to be quiet during this race, so he's probably going to try to influence it from the outside. But this also establishes himself as sort of a kingmaker, somebody who the Democrats have to come and essentially kiss the ring, so he's going to have some influence on that front. It looks pretty clearly like he's going to be endorsing Hillary Clinton down the road, but, you know, he will, of course, have the ability to sort of pull a Bernie Sanders, if you will, and bring the conversation to whatever he demands. It's kind of something similar to what Obama did back in 2008 with John Edwards. Edwards promised to drop out of a race in exchange for Obama promising to combat poverty, which is one of his key pet issues. And, you know, given that didn't really end out very well considering, you know, John Edwards is sort of a political non-figure by the time he departed. But for Biden, at least, he's certainly going to be able to influence the conversation.
Yeah. Interesting take. Absolutely. So we move from Biden and that announcement to a couple of other things. And one of the things that has been talked about also a ton for a good reason, John Boehner decides to bail, so now the whole Speaker of the House thing is up in the air, and I thought it looked like Paul Ryan was the man after he said he was willing to step in, but apparently that's not a done deal, is it?
It's not a done deal, pretty much. What he said was conditionally he would assume the speakership if he received the endorsement of all the caucuses. What we have is the House Freedom Caucus. That was the one that was going to be kind of hard to get in this situation. They are the 20 or so lawmakers who have essentially gummed up the Republican leadership's legislative agenda, and there was a big threat that they would oppose Ryan and therefore restricted the GOP from getting the magic 218 they need for not just the speakership, but for their entire legislative agenda if they were going to be dead set on passing everything through just the Republicans themselves. But yesterday we did see a vote within the Freedom Caucus wherein a supermajority, about 70% of the members, ended up saying that they're ultimately going to be supporting Ryan. They voted in favor of him. That was about 10% short needed of the official number to officially endorse Paul Ryan through the Freedom Caucus, but nevertheless, it certainly makes things a lot easier for Ryan. It looks like he probably will assume the speakership following this vote. Now he has an opportunity to essentially point to the fact that there is at least some GOP unity. You know, if they take away the power of the House Freedom Caucus to vote essentially in lockstep, that is a pretty big blow to them. The fact that they were able to sort of corral their members around whatever they wanted for so long really granted them a lot of power, and it seems like that certainly is diminishing now that we have the supermajority vote.
Yeah, no kidding. And you know, as we watch what's going on in D.C., here we are again. We're almost at the end of October, so we're into that slide of if it doesn't wrap up, we're into another year. Is there a great push for certain legislation that's been tossed around lately?
Well, I mean, pretty much right now it's just kind of a, you know, housekeeping of the highest order, you could say. We have the debt limit vote that's going to be coming up in early November, hopefully before November 3rd, or else the U.S. will default on its debts. We also have the budget, which is set to extend until December 11th, but beyond that, we risk the possibility of another government shutdown. So these are two big hurdles that whoever the next speaker, likely Ryan, is going to have to face almost right off the bat. And those are going to be probably dominating the conversation since until those get dealt with, there's not really going to be much room to work on any pet projects.
Yeah. All right, Justin Duckham, as always, thanks so much. Have a great one.
Thank you. You too.
So the big story on the day in Washington, as Justin knows, was the grilling of Hillary Clinton, 11 hours. You know, I got up and got my coffee and started to watch. And, of course, where did I have to watch? Al Jazeera. Every time I saw it on the side of the screen, and we've had Tony Perkins on from Al Jazeera. He's great in New York. But watching the marathon was just insane. I did not watch all 11 hours. I took the short version after that because I could not do 11 hours of it. All of the grilling, the hard stuff, everything from the beginning, I saw the whole thing. And it was interesting because she, to me, they tried to bait her a bunch, and she didn't really take the bait. I mean, really, it turned into sort of an endurance test is the best way to put it. I think it's like one of those deals where if you grill the witness long enough, will they eventually just crack and say, okay, listen, I did it. Whatever you want, that's it. So how did she handle it? She had to defend her use of private email while in office. She had to defend what she did and didn't know about attacks, why Chris Stevens, they were friends, why wouldn't she have helped him? There was all kinds of ways that question was asked. And she said, and we're going to let you hear it throughout the show, but she said, I came here because I said I would. I've done everything I know to do as the people with whom I work to try to answer your questions. I cannot do any more than that. And Clinton said towards the end of the day, that's what she said, before breaking into a coughing fit, and then there was the throat lozenger, I think because it was such a long day. It became the Democrats versus the Republicans on the panel. So you'd have one Republican, and then you'd have a Democrat say something completely different from what the Republican said. Peter Roskam of Illinois, the congressman from there, was getting hot under the collar about Clinton's refusal to provide any new answers. And he said, I have heard one dismissive thing after another. What did you do? What did you own? That's what he said. And Clinton repeatedly said that she accepted responsibility for what happened in Benghazi, that decisions about security arrangements were left to U.S. envoys on the ground and security pros in the State Department. Roskam at one point ripped a piece of paper in two and said, you laid this on Chris Stevens, didn't you? They didn't get through to you. They didn't get through to your inner circle, is what he said, claiming that requests for security from Stevens were denied, and that's what it was. So she was pretty cool about all of that for most of the hearing. She got a little more impatient as the day rolled on. Like I said, we'll weave it into the conversation. If you heard any of Hillary Clinton, your take, I don't think it sinks her because she didn't go far enough over the line for that to really happen. 855-266-5283. Meet you on the flip side.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on healthcare by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Norrie, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit brightsideben.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Ben team. Go to brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com.
It's time to kick some ash, because cigarettes have met their match. Smokers are switching to Vapriot e-liquid by LeSig, because when you kick ash, you kick tar and smelly smoke, too. LeSig smokes the competition with real people customer service, a 7-day satisfaction guarantee, and same-day fast-free shipping. Become a vapor today at LeSig.com. Spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeSig e-cigarettes. Kick some ash.
Does being over 40 make you feel like half the man you used to be? You feel more tired, out of shape, not in the mood like you used to be? Thanks to an exclusive formula, you can help boost testosterone levels safely and naturally. Introducing Ageless Male, a life-changing supplement for men tested to help increase testosterone levels.
You'll notice a boost in your energy levels, workouts work, sex life improves. It's like a light switch goes on.
Try Ageless Male risk-free if you would like to experience what taking Ageless Male can feel like. Support for healthy, normal testosterone levels, healthy energy, and increased performance. And more romance when you want it.
Call 1-800-327-4821. That's 1-800-327-4821. 800-327-4821. 800-327-4821. That's 1-800-327-4821.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great nation. It was all about this and that and the Benghazi attack. So it was, some of the stuff was, I have to say, pretty interesting. There weren't great answers. What I just pretty much said with Hillary Clinton is what you got. She was, for the most part, cool. She got a little bit testy later in the day. Other than that, not really. I mean, the most emotional part was Clinton, defanging, basically, as it was described, the Republicans' attack by arguing she apologized over the deaths of the four Americans in Libya more than anyone else on the panel. And she said, "I would imagine I've thought more about what happened than all of you put together. I've lost more sleep than all of you put together. I've been racking my brain about what more could have been done. Or should have been done." Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, he was another one that was kind of the whack-a-mole guy, where he constantly went after Clinton throughout the 11 hours, first saying that she and other Obama staff tried to blame the attack on the consulate on an anti-Muslim, remember this, YouTube video, to avoid undercutting Obama's claims that he had crushed Al-Qaeda. And what he said was, "You could live with a protest about a video that won't hurt you, but a terror attack would," saying that Americans could accept reluctantly compatriots being killed abroad, but what they can't live with is when their government is not square with them. That was sort of his word. He would say, when you're not square with him. But she rejected that, and she said that over and over again, that things were unclear, they were trying to do things, it's been recorded, and so it is. The bottom line is, if this was intended to completely sink Clinton And there will be conversations following this in the weeks and weeks to come. And even during the election process, it's fair game. It can be brought up again, and it will be brought up again. It's just there. It's part of the deal. It'll be brought up again. But will it sink her? No. I think what sinks Hillary Clinton is depends on what else is going on with the Democratic Party. And for now, anyway, there's nobody else that can take that mantle unless it's Bernie Sanders. Because it's not going to be Joe Biden. Jim Webb, rather, is out. And anyone left standing is no way strong enough to all of a sudden get that nomination. So it's Hillary Clinton's, barring some ridiculous thing that happens with Sanders, but it's almost an impossibility. In fact, coming up next, we're going to chat with Megan Barth about that. I like her style and her political leanings and what we talk about with Megan. We've talked about before in analyzing, you know, what does this mean? Joe Biden drops out. What does this mean? Hillary Clinton, now the one that's the presumptive nominee, even more. Things that were said and things that will come up can be used absolutely when it comes to Hillary Clinton and the Benghazi attacks. But getting through this panel, I'm sure that's what they were telling her. You just got to get through it. People were handing her notes. She had notes, as did everybody on the panel, because it was like show and tell. There were emails. There were things that were read from files. There were charts. There were snippets of people on the Sunday shows talking about Benghazi on either side of this. I mean, the saddest part of the whole thing is none of this brings back Chris Stevens. None of this brings back the four lives that were lost. I mean, to have the first ambassador killed since 1979, and it is true and it is documented that they asked for help. They asked for help. I mean, there has to be some other way to do this other than there's layers of people underneath the Secretary of State. Of course there is. But who are the layers of people? Why wasn't there any attention paid to the security requests? You know, initially they weren't requesting the extra security, but that was initially years before. I mean, that's the most troublesome thing. Would more security have made a difference? The answer is you would assume so if there was enough. Could they have stopped the attack? Maybe not. But could they have prevented the deaths? Perhaps. So at one point, to me, the juiciest part of the whole thing, and I was watching this live, the panel's top Republican, Trey Gowdy, and Elijah Cummings, the Democrat from Maryland, the longtime congressman, started shouting and interrupting each other over what information the committee should release. Clinton just sat there in the witness chair, watching the exchange, nodding her head in agreement with Cummings, and you know, that's what happened. And the Democrats really wanted the thing to end. At one point, Cummings said, you know, we're better than using taxpayer dollars to try to destroy a campaign. This is not what America's about. This is not what it's about. And Clinton said when she answered questions that her testimony is no different than what she testified before the House and Senate on Benghazi 2 years ago. And then, boom, right back into the whole campaign thing, saying, I realize that there are many currents at work in the committee, but I hope that the statesmanship overcomes partisanship. At some point, we have to do this. It wasn't must-see TV. Unless you saw something I didn't see, I want you to tell me what you thought was incredible. I thought that exchange was wild. 855-266-5283. Are you just burned out on the whole Benghazi thing? I'm not burned out for the people who lost their lives. I every time I read anything or hear anything about Stevens, I so feel for his family. And this is a guy who just dedicated his life to going into hairy, carry places. So he knew it was dangerous. But the fact that there was these, I mean, I don't care what political bench you have, there's no question that they were asking for help. So that's what I really wanted to know, that if it's somewhere further down the pipeline, why didn't those security requests get knocked up further? Or why weren't they taken care of? Or is there more of an explanation there so that doesn't happen again at some embassy when somebody needs help? To me, that's the most glaring thing and has been right from the very start. But I'll throw out the numbers again anyway, 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. Or you can flip me an email at americatonight.net, americatonight.net, as many of you have done, to talk about what you saw from Benghazi and what you think ultimately this leads to. I mean, there's no question what they wanted to know is where were you, what happened, especially the big thing, the protection, all of that. And I'll tell you, Congressman Cummings must have said it 17 times. He's saying that the investigation wasted 17 months and $4.7 million on a partisan fishing expedition that turned up no new evidence on the attack, which occurred when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. She did say that an independent accountability review board that she set up as secretary had pulled no punches, unveiling 29 recommendations for improving security for diplomats overseas. And she said that the previous attacks on Americans abroad in 83, remember that, the U.S. Marine barracks, that was awful, the embassy in Beirut, that was awful too, already produced changes to the security procedures after nonpartisan investigations by Congress. So, I mean, you know, that's the bottom line. And as I mentioned, what happened in the hearing will absolutely be used at different points, I think, along the campaign trail. But how damaging it is to Hillary Clinton, in the broader sense, that's what I guess we don't know. Because we don't know who the Republican nominee is going to be. I'm assuming it's Hillary Clinton, but maybe I'm wrong. Something suddenly shakes up and something different happens. But right now, I don't see that being a big change. So who is the Republican nominee? And will that affect, let's say, Democrats or independents who decide, you know, I can't vote for Hillary. I don't like some of the things I've seen, the Clinton Foundation accusations. I didn't like the Benghazi outcome. I don't like different things about Hillary Clinton. Whatever it is, it's really who are the independents going to vote for? And maybe some disenfranchised Democrats, or will they all still vote for Hillary Clinton or a Democrat? Megan Barr coming up around the bend here on America Tonight.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi there, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and we're looking in this time of terrible financial crash, terrible meltdown of the medical system, we're looking to pay people obscene amounts of money if you become a student of our business at Youngevity. We will help you actually take care of people better than the medical system has. Think about it. We spend more money in America for healthcare than all the other 218 nations the world put together, and they can't even solve weight loss problems. I mean, the medical system can have a total mental brain fart, and if you do this, you will be able to to save an enormous amount of people from being overweight, being obese. They don't even know what causes obesity. Believe me, we know what causes obesity. In the medical system, they think it's from eating too much. It's not from eating too much. It's actually a mineral deficiency. Do you solve a iron deficiency anemia with a bone marrow transplant? That's what they think. Do you solve a mineral deficiency that causes obesity with a gastric bypass? That's dumber than a stump. Contact us at GCNminerals.com. Learn how to lose weight, look good, and save yourselves a gob of money.
The legendary Dr. Joe Wallach, heard on Alex Jones, George Norrie, Benny Hinn, and so many more, is on his 90 for Life tour, and you can see him live and in person Monday, October 26, 6:30 p.m. at the Unity Village, 1901 Northwest, Blue Parkway, Unity Village, Missouri. Don't miss this incredible event. Call 615-389-7733 to reserve your seats today. That's 615-389-7733.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
And the decision not to run. How about that? So Hillary Clinton's people all breathed a sigh of relief because now they don't have to fend off any challenge from Biden, whatever that challenge would be. Are you surprised or did you think this is how the outcome was going to be? We have Megan Barth with us. She's the founder and proprietor of ReaganBaby.com, and she's a nationally recognized political commentator and women's advocate for sure. She's been on the show before. She rocks, so we're having her back on. Megan, you heard the deal about Joe Biden. He's in the Rose Garden with the president by his side, saying he's not going to run for a myriad of reasons, mostly because, oh, filing deadlines, I don't have time to do it. Are you surprised by this? Do you think some of the Democratic machine is happy that he backed off, or no, it would have been more exciting to have him in this race?
Everyone was pretty much fooled by it. You know, I was watching the news the night before, and all of the pundits on any station was really betting on the fact that he was going to jump in. So, yeah, I was completely caught off guard. I had written on Reagan Baby the week prior, the progressive raucous, and had assumed that perhaps he and, you know, Elizabeth Warren may enter the race. But Joe proves us wrong. So, Uncle Joe... Uncle Joe is going to go home, but it was a really interesting case. I've never really seen anything like that before. You know, a contender does not enter the race, but he announces from the Rose Garden. He does so with the president standing next to him. You know, I had flashes of Bo Bergdahl's parents standing next to Obama. So it was interesting because of what he said, and he was basically saying what he'd do if he were to run, laying out nearly like a blueprint or a warning for Hillary Clinton.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, is Hillary going to be indicted? Is she not going to be indicted? What's going to happen at the Benghazi hearing tomorrow? It seems to me that there is a lot more that's going on than perhaps meets the eye, and very typical of the Democrat Party. You never really know what to make of their motivation. And I don't know if he's really out. I keep saying, is there something that's going to happen with Hillary, and then Biden comes in to save the day, it's his destiny, and he's fulfilling the prophecy that Beau left behind. If she does get an indictment, Joe's going to have to be nudged into running. However, if she doesn't get the indictment, he is basically going to be sheriff and corral whatever Dem Nom, which will be Hillary, into saying, look, don't run against the record, adopt Obama's record, and run with it.
Yeah, I got the same impression that you got, that it was very odd, the Rose Garden thing was odd, the laying out, like you said, the blueprint, that's a great way to put it. It seemed as though, like, hey, this is some kind of a warning, and you know it's Hillary because there's nobody else in that crowd. Bernie Sanders is separate. So that's where that was directed. So it was like, just in case, ... I could end up stepping back here. I mean, his wife was with him at his side. It just was a very strange deal. And also the kind of like threat at the end that he was going to be very involved. So it's kind of like, I'm not going anywhere. So just because I'm, you know, hey, I'm the vice president, but I'm the kingmaker. So something has to come through me, which is so strange. I can't remember ever seeing that before.
No, I hadn't either. That's why I was kind of bluffed. You know, I watched it a couple times because the first time I didn't really catch it. And then the second time I was really listening and kind of parsing what he was saying and trying to read between the lines. Because as I had mentioned, with the Democrats, it's never face value. There always seems to be an underlying motivation or a kind of a hidden motivation behind every action. You know, you really can't necessarily take things on face value with them because politics, as you know, is a game and the Democrats play it very well. And I would say they outplay the Republicans quite a bit. So to watch it and to watch the spectacle, like I said, that I was having flashbacks of Bergdahl's parents. It was the Rose Garden. It's not often that the president will come out in the Rose Garden. And the day before and the 2 days before, he was kind of throwing Hillary under her bus. He was saying, you know, the Republicans aren't our enemies. You know, they are our opposition. And he was kind of correcting her rhetoric that she had at the Dem debate. You know, I went down to the Dem debate. It was right down the street. I'm in Vegas. And I went down there last week. And, of course, I couldn't get a press pass. However, I thought that the show was really going to be in the hallways, you know, grabbing the supporters, and I was exactly right. So, yeah, we know that Hillary is going to be the nom. We know that the Democrats cannot nom a socialist, at least an admitted socialist, Bernie Sanders. They're going to hide under the progressive, quote-unquote, euphemism for as long as they can to not show their socialist cards. And Joe, how he's going to be involved, the Uncle Joe watching over everything to ensure that Obama's third term comes to fruition is just a very interesting play. There is still a part of me that believes, and I believe it because I'm such a strong believer in justice, although with this DOJ, that's turned on its head. And then the previous Eric Holder's DOJ, justice was turned on its head. Yet with the FBI still mum and then the Benghazi hearing today, I just don't see how Hillary can withstand much more. And I don't see her, whether or not she gets an indictment, whether or not she drops out because of some health issue and she kind of just avoids the pending indictment. I just think that there's so much levied against her. I don't see her as a winning candidate. and you look at the polls, and I haven't seen the latest polls, but I think I saw the ones the week prior. She's losing in major states against even Trump. So I really don't know, unless she selects a VP that is going to help her and carry her, and maybe Joe will become her sidekick on the campaign trail. I don't see her as a winning candidate.
Yeah, I don't see her as a winning candidate either. So having said that, and you mentioned this, the whole idea that he's an admitted socialist, Bernie Sanders, is he the guy, though? If he's the guy, that's just, the Democrats don't want that.
Not at all. Like I said, there is no way the DNC, first of all, Bernie is a liability to them. Mm-hmm. He's an independent. He's not even really, quote unquote, a Democrat.
Right.
Within the DNC. He's not using their fundraising mechanism. They're not championing him. They're not really covering him. They've been pushing Hillary in our face, well, forever since she came on the public scene. You know, this is her destiny. She needs to be anointed. She is the queen of the DNC. She's very tight with Debbie Wasserman Schultz. There's no way that they are going to nominate a socialist because, as I said, they would have to expose their hand. They would have to relinquish the progressive title that they've given themselves. And they would have to adopt every platform of the socialist platform, which is Bernie Sanders, and it's not Democrat socialism, it's socialism.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what it is, so it's impossible for them.
I think so. It's too much of a liability. When you look, sure, he can raise money. It's not coming from the lobbyists. It's not coming from Wall Street. It's like Hillary. It's not coming from the big PACs. It's coming more from this, you know, smaller independent voters. But yet he's not going to be able to carry that through to a win. The country, thankfully, has not drifted so far left whereby you have so many blue dog Democrats, Kennedy Democrats, Reagan Democrats, that are disenchanted with the party. I think that's why you even see, and I haven't seen polls, there's no polls that exist like this, but I would believe that there are Republicans that are leading in the polls, like Trump and Carson, that are pulling in some Democrat support. I mean, look at Trump. He's pulling in demographics like the black vote, like the Hispanic vote, even the woman's vote, that typically would be for Democrats.
Right, exactly. So go figure. It's very strange. Very interesting times, as Confucius would say, Megan Barth. There's no doubt about it.
Yes, and I'm usually, you know, yesterday I was blown away that he didn't run it. I really had thought, among like many pundits, that Joe is going to jump in. And I thought it might have been the harbinger of what we see now in just a half an hour when Hillary takes the stand. I said, I'm going to have popcorn for breakfast this morning.
I love it. Megan Barth, you're hilarious. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me back.
You're welcome. Thanks. We'll talk to you again soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Sounds great. Bye-bye.
Senator, I wonder if you may have just a moment for a question that's been weighing on my mind. I see the people running and I see the flames rising and I can't help but want to leave it all behind.
sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
A lot of people's lives and bodies are out of balance. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops optimize pH level and get rid of harmful waste and acid. Just a few drops in water restores vibrance and energy and gets you back in balance. Now order two bottles and get $10 off your order. Sign up for monthly auto shipping and save 25%. Call 800-518-7615 or visit alkavision.com. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at alkavision.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
This file represents the emails that you sent or received about Libya in 2011, from February through December of 2011. This file represents the emails you sent or received from early 2012 until the day of the attack. There are 795 emails in this pile. We've counted them. There are 67 emails in this pile in 2012. And I'm troubled by what I see here. And so my questions relate to these piles. In this pile in 2011, I see daily updates, sometimes hourly updates, from your staff about Benghazi and Chris Stevens. When I look at this pile, in 2012, I only see a handful of emails to you from your senior staff about Benghazi, and I have several questions for you about this disparity, because we know from talking to your senior advisors that they knew, and many of them are here today, seated behind you, they knew to send you important information.
And I think it's fair to say, Congresswoman, this was, we all knew, a risky undertaking, and it was something that was, as I said in my opening statement, more reminiscent of the way diplomacy was practiced back in the 19th century, because we didn't have the internet. We didn't have instantaneous communications. You would send diplomats and envoys into places and not hear from them for maybe months. This was obviously not of that kind, but it was not that different in degree from what we had done before, and it was a risky undertaking and one which Chris volunteered for and was anxious to undertake. I did not conduct most of the business that I did on behalf of our country on email. I conducted it in meetings. I read massive amounts of memos, great deal of classified information. I made a lot of secure phone calls. I was in and out of the White House all the time. There were a lot of things that happened that I was aware of and that I was reacting to. If you were to be in my office in the State Department, I didn't have a computer. I did not do the vast majority of my work on email, and I bet there's a lot of Sid Blumenthal's emails in there from 2011, too.
Well, we'll get
and so I think that there were, I don't want you to have a mistaken impression about what I did and how I did it. Most of my work was not done on emails with my closest aides, with officials in the State Department, officials in the rest of the government, as well as the White House and people around the world.
All right, so Sid Blumenthal, Sidney Blumenthal, his name came up. You heard that there. That was a part of the Benghazi 11-hour marathon that took place, and his name would come up again and again and again and again. He's an activist. He's a writer. He's a former political aide. He's a former aide to President Bill Clinton. He's a longtime confidant to Hillary Clinton. He was involved with Media Matters. He is somebody that gets information and gives information is the best way that I think I can put it. He was the editor of a lot of different publications. He wrote for The Washington Post, for The New Yorker, for Vanity Fair, a journalist. And he was in a lot of communications with Hillary Clinton regarding that whole Libya thing. And as the testimony went on, as he was the subject of a lot of questions, he kept coming back to, well, is he a diplomat? Does he work for the government? Does he? That kept coming back again and again and again. Now, Blumenthal absolutely knew the Clintons well because he was an assistant and senior advisor to Bill Clinton from 97 until 2001. So that's a close friend. He advised Clinton on policy, on communications. I mean, you name it. And he advised him. So he was absolutely, he even wrote The Clinton Wars. He wrote that book after the presidency. And is close with the Clintons. And you know, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton wanted to hire Blumenthal, but Obama's chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, blocked the selection. Said, no way, forget it, because of what he did in promoting negative stories about Obama during the primary. Sometimes it comes back to bite you. But absolutely, he's a confidant of the Clintons. I mean, there's no disputing that. None. I mean, and in 2011, with that uprising that started in Libya, he was in touch with her a lot. He was in touch with her aide, Jake Sullivan, who was in charge of the intelligence briefings and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, look. So Trey Gowdy, who headed the Benghazi House Select Committee, served a subpoena to Blumenthal back in May for a deposition that was held on June 3rd. And that's part of what this whole thing was with Blumenthal, explaining the emails, all that sort of stuff, and then going back into that again. Wow. The interesting thing is, this is a story that goes in a circle and probably doesn't really do much damage overall to Clinton. And when I say overall, because whatever damage has been done in the past with Hillary Clinton. And is she electable? I mean, how would you feel if you woke up? I mean, this is like feeding raw meat to the lions, isn't it? And Hillary Clinton was the president. I mean, of any choice out there, Democrat, independent, Republican, somebody who's party-less, wouldn't that be a shocker? I have no party. I'm running for president. We want to elect you. I am a man of the people. Just elect me. the shockwaves, I think, for some people would be unbearable. It would be like a tsunami had smashed into the United States. I don't think she gets that far. I don't. How does she get beyond the fact that there are a lot of Democrats that don't want to vote? I'm talking about the people. There are a lot of people that don't want to vote for Hillary Clinton. And what's the alternative for the Democrats anyway? What's the alternative? Now, the Republicans need to seize the moment, take the high road. If they want to go to Benghazi, use it after this week, and then I'd say put it away and focus on everything else about Hillary Clinton if she, in fact, is the nominee, which she should be. Because, again, I keep saying the same thing over and over again. Who is that other person? And it comes down to, do people trust Hillary Clinton? And the answer is, I don't think so. I think there's people that even supported her before that do not trust Hillary Clinton. That means not electable. But who's the Republican that knocks her and whoever else is on her ticket, which we may know who that is, who knocks that ticket apart? That's where the focus has to be. If I'm Priebus and I'm heading up the Republican National Committee, I'm the chairman, I am lasered in on who is my guy. What am I seeing? What's going on when we're campaigning? What's happening in these remaining debates? How can we slip in our subtle punches with not making that the focus? And there's a way to do that. And I bet you that's what we may see more of that, perhaps. All right, before we skedaddle from this hour, I didn't want to make it all Benghazi all the time because we just had that, for goodness sake. We had our 11-hour marathon. Quick side notes, quick hits, I call them. Former Subway pitchman Jared Fogle couldn't be more popular, made a bloody fortune because he was chunky, said he ate Subway, and became so loved by so many people. Turned out he was not such a good dude. He had to give $1 million in restitution to the people that he, the victims of his sex crime, child pornography, sex child crimes, four victims could get their checks by the time he's sentenced next month. So, you know, the checks were hand-delivered to the 10 victims, $100,000 checks. And they say there's more coming. And, I mean, this is it. His wife wants a divorce. He's got little kids. It's a sick, sad thing. He's going to be sentenced on November 19th, could get 5 years in prison, probably could get a little bit more than that. We'll see. He agreed to plead guilty to one count of traveling to engage in illicit sex conduct with a minor and distribution and receipt of child pornography. Wow. Thoughts on the show, you can send them to me. Go to americatonight.net. Click on contact and you're in just like that. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number, 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. TV.